that was so sad. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's try it again. Hello. Hey, all right. I knew I was at celebration, so I know y'all are not quiet. Okay. I have some very important things to share with you tonight. God has been very specific as to what I am to share with you, and it is about prayer. How many of you know that prayer is the only way that you will survive? How many people know that? Oh, some of y'all don't need to pray. Oh, that's great. I don't know anybody who doesn't really need to pray. I have to pray every day, all day. I have flash prayers when there are emergencies. You better learn some different kind of prayers. When I see certain people coming who I know mean me no good, I have to do a flash prayer. And that is not, you know, you don't have to impress God because you can't. So I don't worry about how it sounds, because there is a scripture in the Bible that tells me that the Spirit makes intercession for me. And that when I say something that's just really just sad and pitiful and it's not even worded right, the Holy Spirit just takes it. She doesn't mean that. She doesn't mean that. She really means that. And when it gets to God, it's just like, help. Okay, so, you know, he doesn't need all that flowery language, you know. God, the maker of, he already knows what he made. You just need to tell God what is on your heart. So he has told me to be very specific about what I'm going to say. There are some scriptures that I want you to look up later. I don't care if you read them with me now. It's more important for you to listen, and then you can read them later. How many of you know that whenever you hear a word, that the real learning happens after the speaker, and you go home and do it on your own? Amen. How many people know that? So if you don't do that when you get home, you're in trouble with God, not me. All right. How many people know what prayer is? Raise your hand. Oh, really? Okay. We're getting ready to see. Let me tell you what it is not. Just talking to God. How many people thought that's what it was? Now, you know God is listening to you, not think. Okay, you're not the only one, okay? Just want you to know that. Yes, some of us think that prayer is just talking to God. Well, that is not what it is. It is a two-way communication. And if we are not careful, the enemy will steal the second part of praying, which is the best part. But we're so busy these days that we will say, oh, God, so-and-so-and-so-and, it's happening, so-and-so-and-so, in Jesus' name, amen. And as you are running to the car, God is like, well, you're gone. If you don't listen to the answer that he gives you, that's not prayer. It's two-way communication. And most of the talking needs to come from whom? From God. Because the Bible also tells that we don't even know what to pray for anyway. So some of us think we are just prayer warriors. Well, if you know that God is the only one who knows what you really need, then you can be a prayer warrior. But if you think you have arrived, you have not. And for those of you who never don't know anything about me, what I need to tell you is I have to tell you what God said. And I love you so dearly that I don't even care if you like it. Because we can't get better if we don't know what's wrong. And prayer is a big problem with those of us who are in the household of faith because of some things that I'm going to share with you tonight. When you are praying, there needs to be adoration. We're talking to God. But sometimes, not you, but there are people in this world in a tense situation who will have the nerve to say, hey, God, I know what? You need to get her. Because I know you don't want me to say what I'm thinking. Well, we forgot he can read our thoughts, so you're still in trouble. Adoration is very important because it gets the spotlight off of us and onto God. And by the way, before I continue, this band is so awesome. I love them. They're wonderful. Then we need to be giving thanksgiving. Sometimes we have complaining prayers. Complaining prayers don't get you anywhere. Because what you have to understand is if we are in true communication with God, the enemy can't handle that. So what he has to do is to try to put a wedge in, a disruption, a telephone, a knock at the door, a commercial. Why do you have it on anyway if you're praying? And we've got to make sure that we are tuned in to God. We need to repent. I did not say ask for forgiveness. I said, repent. They are not the same. Because if you truly repent, you turn away and you never do it again. So if we have a list of things we have asked forgiveness for, I do this in a long seminar that I do, and I tell everybody, write down all the stuff you've repented about. Oh, and they just write, can't get enough. Can I have another piece of paper? Yes, write it down. And then I say, all right, now, repentance means you've never done it again, so start crossing off stuff. So everybody just needs a little post-it note after that. Because repentance means it is gone. And we have to have God in order to do that. Because the enemy knows our habitual sins. Because if you really think about it, we don't really do new sins. We do the same thing over and over again. It is about the attitude I am trying to bring under subjection. I know there is no one in here who has ever had an attitude, but I have had them. I used to be the attitude queen. I used to be able to look at people and melt them to the floor. And one day God said, and what is that about? And I was convicted and I had to stop doing that. Some of us are proud of the look. Is it the look of God or is it the other look? We don't need to be proud of those things. What kind of nature do we have? Now, I know I don't want to say it either, but we need to tell the truth. What kind of nature do we have? What kind of nature does everybody have? A sinful nature. That means doing the wrong thing comes naturally. Otherwise, the Bible would not have said, train up a child in the way he should go. Because doing the right thing doesn't come naturally. Two-year-olds, how many have a two-year-old? They will have the candy bar in the hand, chocolate all over their face. Did you get my candy? No. Because it's natural. Did you send that? I'm not looking at anyone. Did you send in the money for that bill? Yes? No, you didn't. We've just got to get serious about calling things what they are. In our prayers, we need to make requests. The Bible says, make your requests known unto God. Not to give him a news flash. He's God. He knows everything. But we have to acknowledge what we need and ask him, because that is what he has commanded us to do. Also, honesty. Tell God the truth. He knew the thought before you thought it. He knew what you were going to do before you did it. That is why Jesus died for everything that was done, is being done, and is going to be done. If I didn't know that I was covered by the blood, I would quit today. We are covered by the blood. But God expects us to acknowledge and make requests known unto him. But the other part of prayer is listening. We must listen to God. And that is the part that we miss out on a lot of the time, because we don't mean to. And two of the biggest lies that the enemy tells us is, you're all right. No, you're not. There's not anybody in here who's all right. Because this is the dressing room, and if you were already fully dressed, you'd be gone. He's trying to give us another chance to get it right. This is preparation. And the other one, he tells us, is you have time. Well, no, the Bible says tomorrow's not promised. Nobody knows. And if the Bible says that Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, what is up with the people who give you the date when he's coming back? You know, that's why you have to study God's word, because you can be swayed by any strange doctrine if you are not rooted and grounded in the word. And that's why the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Because there are going to be situations where you can't say, hold on a minute, let me go get a Bible right quick. No, it's got to be in here. I was in a situation yesterday, got a promotion. How many of you know that when you get a promotion, everybody's not happy? And don't you think they are, even the ones who are saying, oh, that is congratulations. Well, it just happened to me. Just happened to me. God has blessed me. I don't have enough time to tell you. God has blessed me in my career. I'm entering my 40th year as an educator this year. Yeah. And the devil tried to kill me all along the way, but God said, no, I'm not done. And I got the promotion, which was a total shock, because I never dreamed in a million years that I would leave children and be working with grown-ups. That was never my dream. But you know, God knows better than we do what is the next season in our lives. There are five seasons. summer, fall, winter, spring, and due season. And right now I'm in due season. It's a faith walk because I was completely shocked. Very few people go in the superintendent's office and let them know they're shocked. You know, people pretend like, oh, great, thank you very much. No, I didn't do that. They called me in. Well, first of all, when I got the call, I said, I'm busy. And his secretary said, Dr. Johnson, come on now. I said, okay. So I went and put on my little IBM navy blue suit, and I went in there. And I walked in, and I said, how are you doing? I'm good. He said, it's time for you to come to the district. I said, I'm sorry, what did you say? And he said, it's time for you to come to the district. I said, and why, do y'all have some children down here? He said, no. And I said, well, why would I want to do that? He said, because you're in the evening of your career. That wasn't a great statement for him to say. You're in the evening of your career, and we don't want everything you know to walk out the door when you go. He said, you need to be teaching people what you know so we can continue the work. Well, I didn't appreciate that because what am I going to say? No, I don't know anything. So I realized at that moment, and this is one of the things I want to say to you, you got to be plugged into God all day long. Or you will miss the cue when he's trying to tell you something. You will miss it. When he said, you've got to teach people what you know. Why would we leave you in a school to impact 300 when you could impact 13,000? That is a move of God. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I did not jump up and down and smile and say thank you. I looked at him and I said, are you serious? And he said, yes. And my boss and some other people were there, and they said, it's time. And I asked the deputy superintendent, did y'all pray about this? And she said, read the 75th Psalm. Well, then I know I just need to give it up. If she's quoting scripture to me, I need to just understand that the 75th Psalm says God promotes you, man does not. I didn't know that was in there. So you know when I got in the elevator, I got on my BlackBerry and looked it up, and that's what it said. So I'm grateful to God. What I want you to understand is that you have to have a prayer life. Say prayer life. Prayer life is not dragging to the bed, struggling down on your knees. Don't do the now lay me down and sleep thing. Don't do that. No, only the little ones can do that. You need to be honest and talk to God from the heart that he already heard and read. We can't give God a newsflash. He knows what we need. He knows what we're thinking, what we don't like. There are times when I think about the scripture that says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. It happened to me 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Hope I get through this. I was in Atlanta with my daughter. My daughter's 30-year-old registered nurse. She has multiple sclerosis. She had a major exacerbation. It happened when my husband was having his cancer surgery on both of his kidneys. And they told him he had malignant tumors in both kidneys, and he had to have surgery. While I was in the recovery room, I got the call that my daughter had just stopped walking, couldn't move. They took her to the hospital. I couldn't leave. I was there with my husband. And God told me, I can do this without you. He doesn't need us. You do know that. He wants us to participate, but he doesn't need us. He's God all by himself. She went to the hospital, got her diagnosis, very bad shape, and I couldn't go. I was upset with God. I'm her mother. But the order that God put is that my husband is first. How many are married? Keep your hand up. Don't be trying to put it down now. I want you to say this. My husband is first. After God. No, she said, oh, I didn't tell you to put your hand down. Oh, don't do that. I know how you feel. My husband is first after God. Okay, put your hand down. And it does not then say if he acts right. So I couldn't go see about my baby. And while we were there, my sister called, and my father has Alzheimer's, and he had fallen. And I couldn't go. But who was first? My husband was what? After who? I had to stay. And you know what I found out? I prayed and I prayed, and I don't try to fool God. I just pray. Hey, God, what's up with this? I don't have to worry about it because the Holy Spirit is making intercession and getting it right before it gets to God. I don't have to worry about that. I just get it out. Hey, God, hey. I left the room and I told my husband, are you okay? I'll be right back. Went out in the hall and said, hey. My baby is sick and you want, what is up with this? And he said, I forgot to tell you, I've healed a lot of people. I don't need your help. She was sick for 5 weeks. I couldn't go. But he worked on her. She called me. She said, Mama, I know you want to come, but you got to take care of Daddy. I'm good. My mother called and said, I know you want to come, but your father told us, you better stop worrying about me having Alzheimer's. I'm going to forget I have it. And then I knew that he was going to be all right. We don't know how God is going to answer our prayers, but he will answer them appropriately so that they can be taken care of. He's fine. We get upset. He does not get upset. If that's the way God answered that prayer, who am I to say that wasn't the right way? We've got to be open to God answering the way he knows is best. But we often ask God for things, but we want it packaged the way we want it packaged. I tell young ladies all the time, you better not look at the wrapping on the man that you're looking for. You're not supposed to be looking anyway. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Nobody told you to go look. You know, you can take a diamond ring and put it in a wrinkled up paper bag. And you can also wrap up an empty box to look pretty on the outside. So sometimes you need to pick the 5'1" one with the bald head who's going to treat you like a queen. It is not up to you because you cannot see the heart of anyone. It's all about prayer. Prayer life is essential to your survival. Now, let me ask you this. God is listening. If I ask you to take out your calendar or your BlackBerry or your iPhone or your whatever, all those phones y'all have, whatever that is, and I said, all right, when is God's appointment? Is it written down in your book? Because important things are written down, aren't they? We make appointments for those things we don't want to miss. Prayer life means you have a time that is dedicated to God, period. Mine is at 4 o'clock in the morning. I know, those of you who are not morning people, you are insane. I understand. But see, if you want to do something at nighttime, you're going to have to tell me so I can take a nap. I can't do night. But 4 o'clock is my time with God because my life is so busy that I cannot take the chance that I will start my day without it. That doesn't work for me. That's just me. All I want to know is, do you have anything in your calendar that says this is God's standing appointment? If you don't, you need to think about that. Because if we are giving God the leftover time, that's not good. Because we don't want God to give us leftover blessings. Matthew 17, 20 and 21 say, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we need to stop saying, God, give me more faith. Well, if a mustard seed can move a mountain, how much do you need? We just need to exercise the faith we have. If you have muscles and you don't work out, you know what happens. You got to work it out. You have to exercise your faith so that it becomes stronger. Because my Bible tells me that faith without works is what? Okay. Nothing will be impossible for us if we do that. And when you feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, you just need to think about the fact that God said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to the mountain in our lives, be thou removed, and it will move. It's important for us to know that mustard seed faith is standard equipment for all believers. You don't have to ask for it. Sort of like an injection when you accept Christ. All you do is you use it, and the more you use it, the better it is. I'm telling you, when I was sitting in that infusion room 2 weeks ago with my daughter, they got to the point where they said, we only have one more treatment to try. We've tried everything else. You're going to be disabled in about 3 years if we don't try this. I didn't know how much he had worked with my daughter when I wasn't there to interrupt what he was saying. I want you to listen to me. There are times when you just need to be quiet. You mean well, but you need to be quiet because sometimes you are interrupting what God is trying to tell someone. We have a habit of, you know, we're kind of good at this right here. And God is like, so can you stop so I can talk? Because they're so busy arguing with you that they can't hear me. So we've got to be quiet so God can do what he's doing. So I didn't get to go. So when I went up there 2 weeks ago for the infusion, two and a half hour infusion with an hour of observation, the doctor said, well, this will either work right away or it could be fatal. My daughter said, well, I'll take A. And she laid there, and I sat there and prayed the whole time. And 2 hours and 40 minutes later, she looked at me and she said, Mom, I feel great. She's back at work, doing quite well, and God is good. But it is all about prayer. Sometimes we feel like we're on a surfboard going through the waves of adversity. You don't finish one thing till another one happens. It's like layers. They keep piling on each other. I'll tell you what my dad told me the other day in one of his more lucid moments. He said, well, God must really trust you or he wouldn't let it happen. Did you hear me? Why am I going through this? Because God knows how much you can bear. It's not necessarily what I had in mind, but then I'm not God. In Matthew 21 and 22, it says, and whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Be careful about saying things like, Lord, if you can find it in your will. Well, you think he lost it? He'd lose it. He knows what he's doing. We got to be careful about what comes out of our mouths, you know. You got to speak those things. What? All right. That's what you have to do. And believe it. And God knows whether or not you believe it. Philippians 4:6 is one of my favorite scriptures. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Yeah, but be anxious for what? Yeah, but be anxious for what? Nothing. Not even that you just thought about. Be anxious for nothing but in everything or all things by prayer and supplication. And supplication. Make your request with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Every time I see a piece on TV about Haiti, I apologize to God for whatever I last complained about. We've really got to get a grip in these United States of America. Yes, there was an oil spill, and it is horrible, but we didn't go through that. We've got to be more grateful for what we have. And the promise is, if we do that, we will have a peace that passes all understanding. How many of you have ever had that feeling? I pray that you have it. It is a wonderful thing. And it is usually in the midst. It's sort of like the eye of a storm. The eye of a storm is just calm. Everything's swirling around it. That's happened to me. And this is what I want to tell you. Prayer is a relationship. Don't be a 911 Christian. Don't be the kind of person that if you say, Lord, that he says, well, what's wrong? Well, here she comes because there's something wrong because she hadn't spoken to me in the last 4 days. Everything's okay. Don't be 911 Christian. God is not an emergency technician. And he's not a bellhop either. We want to send God where we need to be going. Can you go to the hospital? Why don't you go? He's already there anyway. You can't send God somewhere. He's already wherever we're talking about. But it's important for us to know that it needs to be a relationship. You want to be on God's friend list. Y'all do Facebook. I don't. I've heard it's a friend thing. Something about be my friend or something. I don't know anything about it. I don't know about that. But I know that you can invite somebody to be your friend, right? Well, I hope you're on God's friend list. But if you don't ever talk to him and share your heart and admit to him what you know is wrong with you, how many people in here are perfect? Oh, I feel better. Great. Because I'm not either. But there is a scripture that is just so soothing. And it is John 14:14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. God is not out to just get us. He's out to bless us. Prayer is going to be the difference between you surviving and not. It is going to be the difference and whether your family is blessed or not. It is going to be the difference in whether you have character or not. You've got to guard your heart and your mind. That is all Satan really wants of you. He doesn't really care about the rest of it. He doesn't care if you look good. That's all right with him. It's your heart and your mind that you have to be sure that you guard. Because your thoughts become words. And your words become actions. And your actions become habits. And your habits develop your character. So it is important what you think. It is important what you say. We as women of God cannot just say anything. We cannot look any kind of way. We cannot go anywhere and just do whatever we want. We cannot do it because we are not our own. And what you need to do is you need to ask God to make sure. When Jenny took me back there to meditate a little bit, I said, Lord, help me not to embarrass you. Help me to represent you the right way. You've been so good to me. My baby is doing fine. She's at work taking care of somebody else in the hospital. I have no right to misrepresent you. We need to be serious about being women of God. We are the nurturers of the world. There is nothing like a woman's touch. There's just nothing like it. But we've got to make sure that our motives are pure and that when we are wrong, we just come on out and say it. And when people come to you and say, please pray for me, and you say, oh, I'll put you on my prayer list. What list? Don't just get little cliche kind of things, because God is listening. And somebody's blessing may be wrapped up in you keeping that promise. So when people ask me to do that, I stop right then. Come on, because I have no memory. We're getting ready to pray right now. So it is important for us to keep our word so that we are not responsible for someone not getting past something because we didn't do what we said we were going to do. Be honest with God. He already knows you and he loves you anyway. Isn't that great? Sometimes I get on my knees and say, God, I don't even know why you fool with me. I make my own self mad sometimes. Because I just can't even believe I did that. I'm just so sorry. But I just thank you that he looks at me through the blood. And no matter what I do, he loves me anyway. But you have got to talk to God all the time. I'm going to share, and it's not about the voice and all of that, but this is what I was singing to my daughter in the hospital. And what I really want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, because it's not about me. But somebody in here who needs to hear the words to this song. I wish I had come here earlier so the band could have played with me, but I didn't. But I want you to listen to the words of this song. Things that I've gone through in life I thought were too hard for me to bear. The enemy tried sometimes to make me think just like God did not care. But I remembered reading in God's word where he said he wouldn't put more on me than I could bear. Yes, Jesus cares, and all that I've endured was only for my good. Now I know it was for my good. Yes, it was, but for his glory. For my good, but for his glory. For my good, all that I've endured, but God gets the glory. I want you to know that I am praying for you. Celebration Church is always on my prayer list because you have a target painted on you. You have a bullseye painted on you. The enemy wants to shut you down. And remember, the enemy never wants to just hurt you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take you out. Because once you go through a battle, you're way more dangerous when you come out. Sometimes I said, my daughter told me the other night, if the devil had known what I was going to be when I finished this, he'd have left me alone. More power. You cannot have a testimony without a test. It's not possible. I love you. I am so grateful that you include me in the things that you are doing. But please, if you don't remember anything else I've said tonight, you must have a prayer life. It has to be an integral part of who you are and what you do. And if you do that, you're just not even ready for how wonderfully God is going to bless you. God bless you.